This message today has just spoke to me all week long as I've just kept going back to it. A lot of times in trying to hear from the Lord and putting it in a message form, I'll just walk away from it, come back. If it's still speaking to me, I know it's going to speak to somebody else. I want to talk about being in tune. You know, when it comes to tuning, we have all of these musicians up here. You've got guitar players. They know what it is to get those strings tuned in. Piano players know what it is, the value of having a piano tuner come by and tweaking those keys. For musicians, they know what tuning forks are, getting that pitch right. For the mechanics in the house, you know what it is to keep a car running with a timing light. How many of us have driven cars that just kind of do this? Take it to a mechanic and say, oh, it's just out of adjustment a little bit. It's just, oh, yeah. What about being in tune with God? Picture on the screen, for those of us my age and older, we recognize that look. But for the younger, you're like, what is that? Because today everything's digital. You just push a button. Those of you that may like AM channels still yet, you know what it is to for that channel to fade in and out, but there's not much you can do about it because you've just pushed the button and you're just hoping it'll get there. But for those of us that knows what these old radios were, especially AM channels, you could just keep working on that dial. And just about the time you got that right, you're like, man, I'm good. I like this song. And then there's this big metal building that gets in your way. And or you're like, man, I'm good right now. That's my favorite song. I just hope I'm not driving too far away from that signal by the time it's done. How many of you are hard-headed like me and you're like, it's scratchy and awful, but you still want to hear every bit of that song that you can? Moses said he pastored stiff-necked people. I have hard-headed people, apparently. Being in tune with God. There are different ways, of course, to do that. So then I'll ask you another question. Have you ever been irritated when you're trying to hear that song and it's fading out on you? I mean, you're disappointed, but you get irritated too, don't you? I wonder what else irritates you. What about nosy neighbors? What about long lines? Oh, somebody felt that one. Sometimes phone calls or just, do you get irritated when you're telling something and the other person jumps in right in the middle of your sentence? They interrupt. So I see one guy pointing his finger at his wife. Maybe other things of just incompetence irritate you. In other words, there's plenty of things in life to irritate us. And I came across an old statement again. I think most of you have heard it or read it somewhere along the way. And it simply says, I'm planning to have a nervous breakdown. I deserve it. I've worked hard at it. And I'm not going to let anybody cheat me out of it. I'm going to have this nervous breakdown. So let me remind you of a truth. A man that I had never met in life, but his writings speak to me. And you just find those little snippets of Vance Havner. And he speaks a great truth to us as Christians. As a Christian, we are not citizens of this earth trying to get to heaven. Rather, we are citizens of heaven walking through this life. There's plenty here to irritate us along the way. There's plenty of things here that upset us. And when it comes to God in our life, that keeping Him tuned in, the song again we sung earlier, just the whisper of His name, at times is all we need in the moment to calm us. At times of great desperation, of maybe even lying prostrate or just wailing before the Lord, but coming to that place of, Jesus, I need you. That staying tuned in. From a passage of scripture that is a fellow that had plenty of things not only to irritate him in life, but to disappoint him and to grieve him. And his name is Job. Job 23, if you want to turn there. Stand with me as we read God's word together. Job 23. I'm going to pick up at verse 7. See if you can't also relate. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. What's he talking about? Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, speaking of God now, but he is not there. And backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. As you're being seated, turn to one other person and say, I need to hear this. Because we jumped into a long going story already, for those of you that may not know Job, Job in the eyes of God was a very upright person, a godly person. And, of course, Satan singles him out, and we all know what that's about. Demonic assignment against our life. We understand the struggles that now he's going through, and where he has been so blessed, and everybody recognizes the blessings in his life, including Satan, now Job is being stripped of everything that was called blessing. His prosperity is gone in a whirlwind. He loses his entire family in a moment of time. The challenges that he has, and very relatable story, when you're going through crisis and you go to somebody and you try to share your woe, a lot of times you're just saying, well, just die. Just quit. Or more painfully, what have you done wrong? Because they don't know how to relate to what you're going through. Or you're reminding them of some pain that they've gone through or are going through. For Job, I mean, it's just a whirlwind of events going on in his life. And here he is speaking. Where's God? I can't get God tuned in. Seemed like he was there Sunday morning at church, especially when we were singing, but where is he Monday evening? Where is he early Tuesday morning? Where is he Wednesday morning when I've been up for hours feeling nauseated and I can't fall asleep? Where is he? I'm trying to dial him in. Being in tune with him. Or just the thing of, yeah, I know what it is. I know his word. I know it's important to pray and read his word. But, man, life is just so busy. I'm working two jobs, sometimes three. I've got children to raise. I've got responsibilities. They're adding more to me at work. And we just go on with the list. And we find that our time is getting away from us. And then in those moments of clarity, oh, I need to stay in contact with God. And where is he? Job knew all that. We read all the way through the story of great anguish. And now his friends come along and there's discourse going on back and forth. And they're basically saying, we don't know what to do with you. And finally, here where we read, he's far enough now that he's starting to get a hold of himself. And the part that we just read, basically, in other versions says, I've looked to God in the north, but I can't find him. I've traveled south, I've done something different, but I can't find him. I know he's at work, but I've taken a left turn, I still can't find him. To my right, where is he? This version here speaks more of, I've gone forward, I've gone backward, I've gone left and right, but I can't find God. I don't feel his presence. And feelings, of course, is something that is important to us, but also can lead us astray. How many times have I had somebody come to me, well, it felt good at the time. I know it was real stupid, but it felt right at the time. Or one of our nice little statements today in the culture is, well, the heart wants what the heart wants. Well, sometimes that can be positive, but if your heart wants that other man's wife, oh. But it felt right. So God, you know, I'm wrestling with life, I'm wrestling with feelings, I'm just trying to dial in. And then there's this thought in our head, if I was living right, then I would never have a challenge, I'd never have a struggle. I would always just be dialed in. Man, my relationship with God's digital. I just push a button, he's there. He never fades in and out. I mean, it's all good, right? On three, I'm going to ask for all the raise of hands of somebody that's you're not irritated or challenged with life. So one, get ready. Two, get ready to throw them hands up. Three, we got one. We struggle. And the best of us struggle keeping God in tune. It isn't God, it's us. Life coming at us. Job, I mean, can you imagine what this guy's gone through? But we go back to feelings, their emotions, their perceptions, their sensations. And you got to ask yourself today, what do I do when my comfort is removed? What do I do? Do I take flight or do I fight? Do I cocoon or do I just take it out on everybody else? And here's a thought. This comes out of the Brooks commentary. Of all the titles the Holy Spirit's given, do you know he's also called the Comforter? Why would he be a comforter if we were never going to be uncomfortable? In other words, God knows that we go through these times of great challenge. And in this, we realize that sometimes God is very well aware and allowing it. So are we really out of tune, or is it that we just don't have full understanding? Again, these feelings kind of throw us to our side at times and struggle. Here's a Max Lucado statement. I love Max Lucado. It kind of, you got your seatbelts on the pews? God's goal was not to make you happy. God's goal was to make you his. Wow. What a great position. In other words, there are times emotionally that we really do expect God to make me happy. How many times have I heard someone say, well, he made me happy when I met him and we dated, but now I'm married to him. In other words, what I'm hearing is, I married him to keep me happy. Men, how do you like that job description? Do you think that's possible? How many husbands do I have that knows they can keep their wife happy 24/7? Raise your hands. I told you this message that spoke to me all week. This is life. And yet there's a God, and there's a way to him, and we can have relationship with him, but we have to understand this tuning thing. He wants us to know him. Again, Grace Life Church, to know him, to be like him, to make him known, or know, grow, show, to know him. With Job, what an incredible statement in this passage. I've gone forward, I can't find him, backward, left, right, but I know him. And I know after he has tried me, I will be gold. Wow. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pain. Here's the thing about Job. When you read the entire story, he seldom speaks of the loss of prosperity. And he had it. And he rarely speaks of the grief that he has for the loss of his children. I'm not making him out a monster, because the next thing you realize is, but what he grieves the most is his loss of the presence of God. Where are you? In other words, so his whole position hasn't been, I looked for him there and he wasn't there. I looked over here and he wasn't there. I looked, well, what am I supposed to do? No, it was quite different. God, I'm looking for you. I want to find you. And I'm not going to quit just because I made an effort to pray at 12 o'clock and you didn't speak to me one way or another. I'm searching for you. Again, the psalmist, many references, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so I long for you, I thirst for you. I'm looking for your presence. Your presence is the most important thing to me. I want to be in tune with you. We all enjoy those times when it's dialed in and it's spot on and we can feel his presence. When he's confirming his word through somebody else to us, when he speaks to us. How many of you this week have been reading scripture and it's like, oh my, that is speaking directly to me. Look around. We love those moments, but he's also saying, but I know this, the times that I'm looking for you and can't find you doesn't mean that you're not there. The times that I'm looking for you and I am desperate to find you because your presence is the most important thing to me. It makes everything else right. When my relationship with you is dialed in, timed in, tuned in, everything else is workable. And when I realize I can't find you, I realize as well that you're still with me. You'll never leave me, never forsake me. So this must be one of them times you're giving me a longer leash. Oh, come on, somebody. You're giving me another opportunity to grow. Because if I go through this correctly, I'll come out like gold. And that's the thing about gold. How many of you ladies like gold? Rachel, do that again. She just got that ring not too long ago. Can you praise Jesus with the left hand? Yeah, there you go. You know how that gold got there? It came by great effort. Not just by that young man next to you, but somebody had to mine it. And somebody had to put it through the fire. Somebody had to draw the dross out of it so it's got that 14K. You see, this is what he's saying. I know as I'm being tried, I'll come out like gold. To know that, wow, I was tuned in even when I didn't recognize it. Here's this guy, Job. I mean, several passages, 18 and 15, he says, though you slay me, God, I'll still hope in you. The 19th chapter, is again, all these statements are not at the end of the story when, oh, everything's wonderful again. No. It's through the process. Man, this is a preach. Come on, somebody. Not only if he slays me, I don't understand that, but I my hope is in him. But he comes back and he says, and when the skin worms have devoured this flesh, I shall still see my God in the flesh. In other words, when everything's gone wrong and at the end of normal life, natural life for me, that's not going to be the end. I'm still going to see him. All these statements of faith. I hope I'm encouraging you today to realize in the midst of your trial is not only the opportunity for growth, but it's also for you to recognize the work that's been going on in you, that now you're growing in position to where, God, I don't have to see you to trust you. I don't have to have an audible voice from you to know what to do. I know you by your character. I know you're just. I know you're holy. I know your love. I know your thinking is sound toward me. I know the plans that you have for me is not to destroy me, but to prosper me. I know your character, God. In the human relationships we go through, at times when the crisis is there, the crucible was there, and we're fighting through it, we have to start asking ourselves, do I really know this man I'm married to? Do I really know this woman I'm married to? Do I really know this counselor I'm going to? Do I really trust that pastor that I'm listening to? And we go on, and you go through those times of trial, and then you start reckoning, yes, I can trust them because we've been through enough together. I know this person's character. When somebody comes up, don't you love those moments? When somebody comes up accusing somebody else in your life, you can just stand there and say, no, I'm not listening to that because I know them. Amen. Husbands, don't you want to walk up when your wife's talking to somebody else and that other person's accusing you of something you haven't done and you hear your wife say, no, not my man. I know him. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know there's been disappointments in life. We're talking about being in tune with God. He cannot fail. Knowing his character gets us through. He is the refiner's fire, Malachi said. He is the one putting the fire in my life, drawing out the impurities and literally burning them up. How many wants to be stronger tomorrow than you are today? How many want to have more faith in your life next year at this time than what you have right now? You want to know that you're growing in grace. You want to know the closer you get to departing this life, that your life is more sound and solid in Him. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I know my God. It is Paul that comes back. What shall I say to these things? If my God is for me, who can be against me? Shall angels, principalities, powers, things present, yet things to come? Nothing. Nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Nothing! You see, it is that declaration of faith. It isn't just saying amen in a service. It's when you're in the fight next week, next month, and that thing inside of you says, just step out and trust God. What shall I say to this person? What shall I say to this account? What shall I say to this event? If my God is for me, and I know my God is for me because I've got him tuned in, then what shall I say to these things? Nothing can separate me from him. Nothing! He's got me. And when I get tested, I'll come out as gold. There's another illustration that we all know. I wonder how many of you ladies also like pearls. Yeah, he's preaching now. And it's the whole story right there, isn't it? Somehow, in the life of that oyster, something went wrong. Something caused that oyster to get a hole in that shell. some alien substance found its way through that opening. Somehow it happened. I wonder how many of us in life get pierced. How many knows that what it is to have a hole in your soul? How many knows that in those moments it's easy to let something else creep into your life? Maybe bitterness. Oh, come on, preacher. And for that oyster, is that agent, that alien, it didn't belong there, gets into the system. Whew, my God, there's something wonderful going on. That which is inside starts going to work. All those fluids inside that oyster start coming together, teaming together, joining hands with each other. Come on, come on with me. Come on with me. Come on with me. Come here, girl. It's what you get for sitting in the front. Come on. Because I'm not going it alone. I got somebody with me going through the process. We'll go on a little bit further. Come on, Lois. Join in. Stephanie, come on. You see what happens? This is a picture of the body of Christ right here. When something's going wrong, all of a sudden everything starts going right because we're going to team together. We're going to join together. How many knows if just two agree is touching anything on earth and binding it or loosing it, it is bound and loosed in heaven. Thank you, ladies, for your good preaching today. It is that which happens inside that just starts coding that agent. Said, you don't belong here, but we're not going to let you take over. You see that thing called a pearl? As beautiful as it is, it was born in adversity. It was born in time of trial. Ladies, of course men like jewelry too, but ladies, when you get a pearl from a man, wouldn't you also like just to have a whole string of pearls? The more the merrier. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, Anita. You see, that's the story of our life in Christ. After a while, the pearls just start lining up. Yeah, this was back when I was pregnant and almost lost that child. Yeah, this one here, yeah, that was that time our marriage was really on the rocks for a while. This one right here, and we can just go through the story, those things that was coming in to take me out. But God says, no, I'm just going to let that healing virtue, my God, go to work. It is a good word. Ruth, is it by happenstance or just God's design that the gates of that city are made of pearl? And not a bunch of pearls, one pearl. Ladies, would you like to have that pearl? That's what you inherit. There's a message in that. As we walk into that place that we belong to and finally get there, we walk through gates of pearl that just speaks to us through many temptation trials I've gone through. He's never failed me. It's going through that process. There's a little old poem I memorized a long time ago. It simply says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but made me none the wiser for all she had to say. And then I walked a mile with sorrow. And ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things that I learned when sorrow walked with me. Stand with me today.